Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. And so, if people lived by this, I tell you, things would be so much better. The first part is trust in the Lord. With all of your heart, rely not upon your own understanding. Our understanding is too small. Our trust is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. We must trust him despite, well, it tells us in Psalm 46. I'm going to take Psalm 46. Come on now, let's look up Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, and we be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I'm going to read it again. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Even if the earth should shake, even if the earth should be swallowed up. Why? Because there is a river. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. There is a river. It's the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this, that the Psalm 37, that Proverbs 3 and Psalm 46 go together. Though the earth should rock, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Rely upon not upon your own understanding. The mountains be removed. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Rely not upon your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do not consider yourself wise. Lean on the Lord. Fear the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Even if the earth should rock. I'm telling you, the earth is rocking. The earth is rocking, it's rocking to and it's fro, rocking fro. The church is rocking, it's rocking true, and it's rocking fro. And I'm telling you, it is time for us to trust the Lord. It is time to trust the Lord. It is time to trust the Lord. Don Bosco saw a vision at the end of time that the church, which is the great ship, would be very, very shaken, so very shaken, so extremely shaken. But the Eucharist and the Blessed Mother were the two pillars, as well as allegiance to the Holy Father. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. even if the earth be removed and mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters therefore roar and are troubled, for there is a river, there is a river, there is a river, that river that flows from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. There is a river that makes glad the city of God, that in the midst of all of our garbage, in the midst of all of our stuff, in the midst of all of our pain, there is a river, there is a river, there is a river. That is what Jesus left us, who Jesus left us when he went back home. He left us the Holy Spirit. He left us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of life, the spirit that gives life, the spirit that gives new life. Nicodemus was told in the gospel today, in the liturgy, you must be born again. And you know what? You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. The scripture says you must be born again. You say, I was baptized. Are you living a converted life? Are you living a converted life? The saints call it second conversion. I don't care what you call it, but you've got to be born again. The born again experience, the born again experience, because you are not even entering into the race called Christianity until you are born again. Oh, yes, that happened ontologically at baptism, but you know, ontologically doesn't mean too much. How many children have we confirmed who were ontologically, which means in their being, were converted at baptism? And we have confirmed pagans. How many pagans have we confirmed in the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? If confirmation is the sacrament of Pentecost, and it is I'll tell you, the efficacy of confirmation will take place in believers, not in unbelievers, not in people that just have robes on, not in a graduation ceremony. Listen, people must be converted. People must be born again. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's why the preaching of Christ is so important, because it is Jesus Christ who changes lives. We preach Christ, we see in front of these little Protestant churches. We preach Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that someone's preaching Christ. St. Paul says, makes no difference who does it and out of what motives they do it, whether they want to get richer or they want to spite me, as long as Christ be preached. We preach Christ. Oh, yes, that is the solution. That is the solution to bring people into the born-again experience. Call it what you will. But Jesus said, unless you be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He also said, let the person who thirsts come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He also said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Oh, yes, he said all those things. He said all those things. He said all those things. I was reading an article yesterday from the New York Times that someone sent me, and it talked about Hispanic people, how on Sunday they're playing soccer with their children, and they don't go to church. They said, well, they've given up church. Now, I know it's from the New York Times, and I know you take it with a grain of salt, but you know what? There's some truth in it. The answer, the question was, why don't you in church? I said, you know, we don't need God now. We don't need God. I'm going to tell you, we need God so much. We need Christ so much. We need Christ so much. We need Christ more than we've ever needed him. You might belong to the kingdom of thingdom, but you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one, the only center of your life that's going to bring you peace, that's going to bring you health, that's going to bring you joy, that's going to bring you life. And when the earth rocks, he's the only center that's going to keep you from dying of fright. And when you face your own problems and your own sicknesses and the sicknesses of your family, it is only Jesus Christ that'll keep you. Believe me. You can have the best doctors in the whole world, but unless Jesus is your doctor and Jesus is keeping you, you're not going to be able to endure. The scripture says, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we will not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The 23rd Psalm. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but no, I have overcome the world. Yesterday we heard of the massacre that happened so early in the morning. We heard of the massacre that happened so early in the morning. How many people killed? 33 people killed. A massacre, a massacre, a massacre, a massacre. Evil, satanic, dark, a massacre. To the innocent, to the innocent, to the innocent, to the innocent. These people were innocent. They had done nothing wrong. They had done nothing wrong. And yet some crazy man, demonic man comes and destroys 33 people, plus the lives of 33 families and friends for all eternity. And we say, oh my God! But today there will be at least 33 babies that will be killed in Planned Parenthood. There will be at least 33 babies that will be killed in Planned Parenthood. And there is no outrage. The outrage should be as real for these 33 people that died. For these 33 babies today that will be sucked out of their mother's wombs. And that will be cut arm and legs and heads. Let me tell you. If you are not safe in the womb, you are not safe any place. There is a principle. The principle is this. If one man is not safe, then all men are not safe. Let me tell you what I mean. If one person is not safe, then the safety of all is on a slippery slope. It started with abortion. When we decided to make ourselves God, that we can decide where life begins, and violence started in the womb. The womb was the most protected place. Now it's the most precarious place. So what we do is we kill children day in and day out, and women are left with that heartache. Let me tell you, women, if you've had an abortion, the ocean of mercy is for you. The ocean of divine mercy is for you. God wants to heal you in the depths of your being, believe me. But today in Planned Parenthood in Boston, at least 33 children will die. And there will not be an outrage. There are several people that will stand out there praying in the rain and in the cold, I'll tell you. But there will not be an outrage. But you see, you start with violence in the womb. Where do you end up with violence? If I can tell you these lives are not sacred and I can kill these lives, a crazy man can go into a college and do the same thing. I say, these lives are not sacred. I can kill anyone I want and then kill myself. We teach violence. We teach violence. What do we expect? What do we expect? I have great sorrow for the people that died and the sorrow for the families that will have to mourn them. Great sorrow. They were doing something good. They were in school and some crazy man comes in after the innocent. Just like today, there will be innocent little children that will be ripped out of their mother's wombs. At least I will tell you that the 33 people, at least they could have started running. They could have all run after them. They had that ability. These poor little children in their mother's wombs can't do anything. What happened yesterday was sick, so evil, so dark, so disgusting. But I'm not surprised. Oh, the earth is rocking, and the church is rocking. And it's time to get back to the roots. back to the Eucharist, back to the Word of God, back to the Blessed Mother. It's time, it's time, it's time. Because I'm going to tell you, if you think things are rocking now, they're going to rock more. They're going to rock more because now we start with embryonic stem cell research and violence will be done to these little individuals. And you think you plant violence, what are you going to get? You're going to get more violence. Violence in the streets of Boston. Violence, violence, violence. We propagate violence in the name of being humanitarian. Now, people say, you know, I go a little too far with it. I know I don't go a little too far at all. I don't go a little too far. Mary is called the Immaculate Conception. That means she was conceived immaculate in the womb of Anne, in light of the cross. We believe that life starts at conception. If conception is not blessed and is not protected, then you are not protected either. And I tell you, the earth is rocking. And the church is rocking. But hold on and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Rely not upon your own understanding. Abide in him, and he in you, and you will produce much fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. It is my Father's will that you produce much fruit and that your fruit would endure. Abide in me, says the Lord. You are God's children now. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. When it does come to light, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Oh, abide in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Trust in him with all your heart, even though your earth would be rocking, even though your earth would be shaking, even though your life would seem very precarious. Trust in the Lord. Rely not upon your own understanding. Ah, yes, even though the earth be removed and mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, there is a river. There is a river, and that river is the Holy Spirit. He has always been the answer. He is the answer, and he will always be the answer. The answer to the problems of the world and of the church is yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to that person that makes Jesus alive in our life, yielding to that person that makes martyrs, yielding to that person that does signs and wonders and miracles, yielding to that person who is and who was and who is to come. Oh, yes. He is the great Holy Spirit of the Lord. He is the Holy Spirit given to the church. He is the sanctifier. He is the Lord and giver of life. He is the power of the Trinity. He is the love of God for the Father and for the Son poured out. Love of God of the Father and the Son poured out. He is. He's more than that. How necessary that Holy Spirit is. How necessary that Holy Spirit is. How necessary. We cannot do anything apart from the Holy Spirit other than sin. We can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. And yet that Holy Spirit, as Father Carapi said last week, is the most unknown person in the Trinity. And because he's unknown and he is not experienced, the church has been rocked. The church has been rocked. And the church is rocking. Oh, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's what Jesus says, and he's right. But that does not mean the Church of Boston, and that does not mean the Church of Springfield, and that does not mean Holy Rosary either. That means the faithful church, the faithful remnant, the faithful people who will trust in the Lord with all their hearts and rely not upon their own understanding. Even though their earth would rock and shake, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Lean not upon your own understanding. Abide in him and he in you, and you will produce much fruit. When's the last time you produced fruit? Fruit has to do with people, bringing people to Christ and Christ to people. When's the last time? When's the last time? When's the last time? Producing fruit. Letting people know that Jesus loves them. The whole witness factor in the church is almost nil. You know, witness. Thank God for Curcio. People go to Curcio at least and get converted. Thank God for Curcio. Thank God that somebody at least continues to invite people to go do Curcio. Thank God for it. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? Maybe you say, well, how can I witness? I've been such a sinner. Well, then we've just celebrated divine mercy, and the ocean of mercy is for sinners. You are more entitled to the ocean of mercy than anybody else. That's what Sister Faustina says. I believe it. Get to confession. How do we witness? How do we witness? We ask the Lord to send us one person. We ask the Lord to send us one person that we might share what God is doing in our lives. Like, what is God doing in your life? What is God doing in your life? If you're walking in sin, he's not going to be doing very much. If you're walking in pornography, he's not going to be doing very much. What is God doing in your life? People need to hear. People need to hear that they're loved. People need to hear that they're loved. And when you tell them that they're loved, where do you bring them? Where do you bring them? Bring them to a place where Jesus is preached, where Jesus is loved, where the Holy Spirit is, where people are worshiping God. Bring them to a place where the Lord is reverenced and honored and adored. Bring them to a place where they're going to be ministered to by the presence of God. Bring them to a place where they're going to be told about the love of God in Jesus. But not only about the love of God, but that the Lord wants to use them. You know, Maria Vadia, after she prayed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she was like a soldier. She went out and she took it so seriously, starting to tell people about Jesus and Jesus about people. And I want to tell you that in July, Maria Vadia is having a conference for women. Women of worship. It's called WOW. And I will tell you more about it. I will tell you more about it. And you know, it's rather than just talks, it's about ministry. Maria said, you know, we get talked to death, and that's for sure. We get talked to death. She said, but no one ministers to us. She said, we are not only going to have talks at this, we're going to have ministry. People are going to be ministered to. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You save the dates, July, I believe, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'll tell you more about it. I'll tell you more about it. But you see, Maria is on the ball. She realized that she was so lost, so lost, so lost. Oh, yes, she went to church every single Sunday, but she was so lost, so lost, so lost. Until the Holy Spirit became a life-giving spirit in her life. Until she met Jesus Christ. She didn't know Jesus Christ. Here she is from Cuba, gone to Mass every single Sunday. Doesn't know Jesus. Doesn't know Jesus. But when Jesus comes, changes her whole life. And as a matter of fact, to the point that her husband didn't want to live with her because he was sharing love with another man, and the name was Jesus. So the husband left her, but she remained faithful. Oh, yes. You see, God knows how to choose people. He knows how to choose people. She remained faithful. In the divorce settlement, she lost almost everything because he had a good lawyer. She had nothing. But you know what? You know what? She still has the Lord, and the Lord has her. She's written now 4 books. She goes around the world proclaiming the kingdom of God. She goes around the world proclaiming Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, because it was about the Holy Spirit that came upon her when they prayed with her for the baptism of the Spirit. Her brother Rene, was into pornography, was into all this Eastern religion stuff, into New Age. It took one prayer for the baptism of the Spirit. He was completely delivered like that. He's a doctor. He's a doctor. And I'm telling you, he prays with his patients now, completely delivered by the power of God. It doesn't happen to everyone like that. It happened to Renee that way. And it happened to Maria that way. But the gift is of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Do you need the Holy Spirit? I do. I need the Holy Spirit. Father, give us the Holy Spirit, please, because without the Holy Spirit, I cannot operate. Father, give me the Holy Spirit, please, because without the Holy Spirit, I cannot operate. I need the Holy Spirit, Lord. I need the Holy Spirit. We all need, the church needs the Holy Spirit. We need revival in the Holy Spirit. We need that the Spirit of God would come and do something that only the Spirit of God can do. And Father, unless that happened, things will continue to rock, and things will continue to shake, and violence will continue to happen, and children will continue to die. Father, the Scripture says that when the devil comes in as a flood, you send the Holy Spirit as a standard against him. Send the Holy Spirit upon your children. Send the Holy Spirit upon your children. Send the Holy Spirit upon your children. And Father, you can start with our Archbishop, because the way the head goes, that's the way the rest of the church goes. Pour out upon our Archbishop the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, after him, look to me. Pour out upon me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And after me, these people that hear me, pour out upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. We will not be at the espousal tomorrow night. No espousal tomorrow night. We will be there next week. Tomorrow, no espousal. Next week, yes. Tomorrow, no. I also want to tell you I'm going to be at St. Mary's in Coventry in Connecticut. Tonight is Tuesday and tomorrow is Wednesday. You're welcome to come. Our services start at 7 o'clock in the evening, St. Mary's in Coventry. I want you to open the Scriptures today to Proverbs 3, Psalm 37, and Psalm 46. Proverbs 3, Psalm 37, and Psalm 46. Oh, though the earth should rock, we will not fear, because there's a river, and he's called the Holy Spirit. Please, people who received my letter and other people who didn't, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Remember the 3 minutes to pray for me. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season. Oh.